Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen. We are joined now by Michael Pregent, who is director of Veterans Against the Deal, took a strong stand against the Iran nuclear deal, as an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute, and a former intelligence officer. And in that vein, Mike, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about what is going on with the Russian bear moving in a very powerful way into the Iraq-Syria area of operations, and really rattling a lot of cages. The amount of horsepower that they've brought into play is pretty impressive. You think this is a sign of things to come?
Well, it's a game changer, and it definitely complicates the situation for us. As you saw today, we're going to suspend our Syrian rebel training program. It wasn't successful to begin with, based on the vetting system in place. But that sends a clear sign to our Sunni allies and Sunni military males in Syria that the West is no longer going to be there to help you out. And with Russia and Syria now, they're looking for friends, and they don't see very many.
Well, all right. Now, we've got one of the things that I thought was pretty outrageous, and we discussed this a little bit earlier on the show. But to me, the firing of cruise missiles from the Caspian over U.S. heads and everyone else's heads from there into Syria seemed to me, again, a literal shot across the bow, but a pretty huge provocation. And I don't know that we've shown anything but submission in response.
Yeah, I mean the story there, like you said, is Russia's been able to secure Iranian and Iraqi airspace to launch cruise missiles against Sunni population centers. Again, they said there were some attacks on ISIS, but who knows, maybe those were some errant cruise missiles as well that actually hit in Raqqa, much like the ones that hit in Iran. It basically shows that Russia now is taking advantage of the Iran's Shia crescent to actually increase its leverage, increase its influence, and take a bite out of Syria. Everybody thinks they're going into Syria to fix Syria. They're not. They're going into Syria just to simply keep Assad in power.
So kind of like the deal we made with the Turks for the use of Incirlik Air Base, they weren't really going to kill ISIS. They just wanted an excuse to go and squash the Kurds that bother them.
That was very disappointing when they said they were going to join the fight against ISIS, and they started bombing the very Kurds we were working with to retake Kobani from ISIS. That's a big problem. But the thing with Russia now being in Syria, that changes Turkey's thought on this, their strategy. They're very concerned about Russian presence in Syria and now working with Iranians.
And the Russians seem to be doing an awful lot to kind of stir things up with Turkey, violating their airspace. But the problem is Turkey is a NATO ally. We are treaty bound to come to their defense if Russia takes them on. I mean, do you see that as a pretty huge potential flashpoint?
Well, Erdogan went to Moscow to talk about this very issue and said, listen, I'm a member of NATO. I'm not sure the White House is very comfortable with that. But this may be the actual thing we need to be able to establish a no-fly zone in the north, because it would actually keep Russian aircraft from violating Turkish airspace. That would be something we should do now. We could still do it even with the Russians there based on the division of targets in Syria. I argue that the territory is already deconflicted because Russia's not hitting ISIS targets.
Folks, we're talking with Mike Pregent. He is executive director of Veterans Against the Deal, an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute. And I hesitate to mention this, but it does show that you are a bipartisan individual. He's also a contributor to the Daily Beast. Mike, I wanted to kind of take a look at some of the other implications for that theater. And now we released a book that I was one of the lead authors on called Cut Down the Black Flag, A Plan to Defeat the Islamic State, that called for a couple things, but among them, arming the Kurds and operating with the Kurds in Iraqi Kurdistan, and also arming and operating with the Sunni tribes who helped us defeat al-Qaeda in Iraq, the precursor to ISIS, and could potentially be the real force that knows the area, knows the people, and could take down ISIS in Anbar and the other areas where they operate. You had an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal with Max Boot calling for what seemed like a similar, but I thought a very interesting twist on that. Let's train the Sunni tribes in Kurdistan. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So we based that strategy on the loss of U.S. leverage at Baghdad with the establishment of this Russian, Syrian, Iranian, Iraqi intelligence cell, and what will likely turn out to be a joint command center with the U.S. not being part of it. So the loss of U.S. leverage in Baghdad, well, one way to get it back is to move our training effort to Kurdistan, actually train the Kurds, the Sunnis that we actually need to retake Mosul. I got to remember, a lot of the Sunnis that left Mosul went to Kurdistan, went to those areas to seek refuge. So you already have the right Sunnis in Kurdistan that are able to actually help us with retaking parts of Mosul. All you got to do is take back an airfield, and that's where we are. Just take back a piece of Mosul, and that could work. But the real strategy is, you know, punish Baghdad for violating existing U.S. law, meaning U.S. money is going to Baghdad and somehow finding its way into the hands of Qatar, Hezbollah, Asaf al-Haq, and Badr Corps, three Iranian-backed Shia militias that are not part of the solution here. They're securing actors, and they're not hell-bent on defeating ISIS. They're hell-bent on securing Shia securing fault lines and aiming weapons that way. And when I say that way, towards Sunni population centers in Fallujah and Ramadi. The Russians will do things in Iraq, and that's one of my major concerns, and that's why we talked about this piece also, talked about this in our the Wall Street Journal piece. Our training effort just became marginalized. We have 3,000 U.S. soldiers right now in Iraq that aren't going to be able to do their jobs effectively. Some would argue that they haven't been able to do them effectively yet because they've been constrained by numbers of, you know, personnel and by the actual training mission, by allowing Baghdad to vet the actual force that we're training. Here's the problem now, is that Russia's going to be willing to target areas that we're not willing to target. So the U.S. will look like it's complicit in the sectarian targeting and the heavy-handed tactics that Russia will use if it starts conducting airstrikes in Iraq. And I think that's a likely possibility in the next 60 to 90 days, that we'll see an expansion of Russian airstrikes into Iraq.
And that, to me, is a complete abdication of not just the promises we made to the Sunni tribes and to the Kurds, but of our role as someone who can stop this from expanding into a much larger and worse situation. Now, let me ask a question. You talk about regaining leverage with the Baghdad government. Do you think there's still a chance to maintain an Iraqi federal government that encompasses the Shia dominated central government, the Kurds, who have a nation state in all but name, and then the Sunni tribes, who have been so poorly served by that Baghdad government? Wouldn't they all be better off if the Kurds had a state and the Sunni potentially had their own?
The argument that I make to that is the Kurds are happy to have a certain section of Iraq, but Shia are happy to have a certain section of Iraq. Sunnis want it all. The Shia want Kirkuk, the Kurds want Kirkuk, the Sunnis want Kirkuk. So there's always something that everybody wants that will still lead to conflict. What we do know is in the next 15 months or so, not much is going to change. The situation is going to get worse, meaning not much is going to change as far as actually being able to fix Iraq. It'll likely slide more into conflict. I'm concerned that ISIS will start being able to move into western Baghdad. We've seen an increase in car bombs in western Baghdad, Saladin, and Diyala. And it's based on this, you know, Prime Minister Abadi has a point. The U.S. isn't doing enough. We want Russia to come in and do more than the U.S. is doing. But that's, to those of us, you know, and you know this better than anybody, Russian tactics, they have area denial weapons. They don't do precision strikes. They punish football fields. They punish city blocks.
And unfortunately, we're going to see the Russians doing that more. And the Iranians, and as you mentioned, those Iranian-backed Shia militias, exploiting this for their own gains, and there's going to be an awful lot of civilians caught in the crossfire. Mike Pregent, who is Executive Director of Veterans Against the Deal and an Adjunct Fellow at the Hudson Institute, pleasure to hear your insights on this, and keep working the issues, and that will do it for Secure Freedom Radio today. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank Gaffney, who will be back on Monday with more Secure Freedom Radio.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.